The next scripture reading is Genesis chapter 6, verses 1 through 8. Let us hear God's word. When men began to increase in number on the earth, and daughters were born to them, the sons of God saw that the daughters of men were beautiful, and they married any of them they chose. Then the Lord said, "My spirit will not contend with man forever, for he is mortal. His days will be 120 years." The Nephilim were on the earth in those days, and also afterward, when the sons of God went to the daughters of men and had children by them. They were the heroes of old, men of renown. The Lord saw how great man's wickedness on the earth had become, and that every inclination of their thoughts of his heart was only evil all the time. The Lord was grieved that he had made man on the earth, and his heart was filled with pain. So the Lord said, I will wipe mankind whom I have created from the face of the earth, men and animals and creatures that move along the ground and birds of the air, for I am grieved that I have made them. But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Gracious and Heavenly Father, we come before you now, asking that you would feed us with your word, that you would reveal Jesus Christ to us, for it's in his name we pray. Amen. Is this too loud? Or is it okay? All right. You know, there are some things in the Bible that are easy to understand. Thou shalt not steal. You know, that's kind of basic. That's easy. We can understand that one with no problem. Thou shalt not murder. That's pretty basic too. We can understand that one without having to have a PhD in theology or Bible. But then there are some passages that makes you just kind of scratch your head and go, what in the world is the Holy Spirit talking about? Well, one such example is here in Genesis chapter 6. It's the account of the increase of wickedness that is going on during the times of Enoch and in the times of Noah. We are to understand that when Moses wrote this, he didn't put it in chapters. He didn't put it in verses. You know, when it's in chapters and verses, we tend to read up to this point, and then we start again thinking that it's an entirely different subject. But that's not the way Moses wrote it. That is not the way the Holy Spirit intends for us to understand. What we are to understand about Genesis chapter 6 comes before in chapter 5. It lists, chapter 5 lists, this person had a son, that person had a son, that person had a son. In chapter 5, we have the genealogy of what, for helping us to understand, is the godly line from which the Messiah, Jesus Christ, would eventually be born. Now, that doesn't mean that everybody listening in that family tree is a believer. It just means that it is that group, that individual, that family, that part of the family tree that Christ will eventually be born. The passage moves from general information, this person had a son, that person had a son, that person had a son. The passage moves from general information to specific information, from a listing of a family tree to what the family tree was actually doing during that time. So what was happening in the days of Enoch? What was happening in the days of Noah? What was happening in their fathers' and uncles' lives? Well, the scriptures tell us that there is this digression of good and increase of evil. The sons of God saw that the daughters of men were beautiful, and they married any one of them they chose. Then the Lord said, "My spirit will not contend with man forever, for he is mortal. His days will be 120. The Lord saw how great man's wickedness on the earth had become, and that every inclination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil all the time." You see, what was happening is the ancestral line from which Christ would be born, that ancestral line is becoming more and more evil. See, we tend to think, oh, it's that can't be the case. The ancestors of Christ, they must have been good, honest people. God-fearing people. Not according to what the Holy Spirit writes here in chapter 6. That the line, the lineage, the family tree by which the Christ would eventually be born, after hundreds of years, thousands of years, the Christ will be born, that family tree grows in wickedness. Now, surely, there are some true believers in this. There are some true believers. The scriptures give it to us. Enoch was a true believer. Noah was a true believer. We're told this in Hebrews chapter 11. Yet the majority of the people from whom the Christ would come go from bad to worse. They go from bad to worse, so bad that the wrath of God is brought forth and poured out on the earth in the flood. The sons of God, the descendants of Seth, the ancestral line of Jesus Christ, they began to intermarry with the daughters of men, or the line of Cain. And this caused the hearts of men who had grown up in the house with a godly father or godly grandfather. It caused these men that had been brought up going to church, so to speak, these men began to lead others into wickedness and sin. Now, this is not the first time this happens in the history of the world. Listen to what the Holy Spirit writes to us in 1 Kings. Solomon makes the same mistake. King Solomon loved many foreign women. They were from the nations about which the Lord had told the Israelites, "You must not intermarry with them, because they will surely turn your hearts after their gods." What happened with Enoch and Noah? Their fathers, their grandfathers, and their sons and grandsons began to marry. Excuse me, ladies. They began to marry ungodly women. Women who held on to pagan practices from the nations around them. And by doing so, it tempted and eventually led the sons of God to commit great sin. Nevertheless, Solomon held fast to them in love. As Solomon grew old, his wives turned his heart after other gods, and his heart was not fully devoted to the Lord his God. Now, that's amazing, because Scripture and history point to Solomon being the most wise person ever. Well, this wise person was led astray. And after years, hundreds of years, there came a point where God says to Noah, build an ark. I'm getting rid of some of these folks. And Paul gives Christians the same warning about intermarrying with non-believers and the dangers that arise from it. Paul says, do not be yoked together with unbelievers, for what do righteousness and wickedness have in common? Or what fellowship can light have with darkness? What harmony is there between Christ and Baal? What does a believer have in common with an unbeliever? What agreement is there between the temple of God and idols? For we are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will live with them and walk among them. I will be their God and they will be my people. Therefore, come out from them and be separate, says the Lord. Touch no unclean thing and I will receive you. I will be a father to you and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Since you have these promises, dear friends, let us purify ourselves from everything that contaminates body and spirit, perfecting holiness out of reverence for God. See, Paul is concerned that Christians begin to intermarry with non-Christians. And what happens is the false practices, the false theology of these non-Christians influences the lives of those who call themselves Christians. And like Solomon, your heart is turned away from following God. They called themselves the sons of God, but they were not true sons of God. They lacked faith. They lacked trust in God's word. There was no obedience. That's why the Holy Spirit points out Enoch, who walked with God and was no more, and Noah, who found grace with the Lord. Now you need to understand that being called a son of God does not make one a son of God. Being the children of a father who walked with God is no guarantee that the son or the daughter is going to walk with God. The wickedness of the sons of God who did not walk with God is to be contrasted to the righteousness of Enoch and Noah, because they were true sons of God. They were not only part of the family tree, but they were true believers. Remember who the original hearing audience. Moses is writing this down, and then he is going to say it to who? He's going to say it to the Israelites who have come out of bondage in Egypt. And what do the scriptures tell us was the temptation for the Israelites as they were in the desert? Maybe we need to go back to Egypt. Because you know, back in Egypt, we had cantaloupes and watermelon and okra and squash and macaroni and cheese and all these good things we had to eat. Oh, but to go back to Egypt requires that you change gods, that you no longer walk with Yahweh. Instead, you walk with the false gods of Egypt. The danger that the sons of God in Genesis chapter 6 fell into, it's just as real today as it was for them. It's interesting. The danger of the decay of true religion is this warning is repeated over and over again in Scripture. It was the sons of God who waited in hope for the arrival of the Messiah. But understand, it was those same sons of God that tried and did kill the Messiah once he got there. You see, the Pharisees were the sons of God, but they worshiped false idols. It was those who called themselves the sons of God that wanted to go back to Egypt. It was those same so-called walkers with God, those who called religious practice godliness, and they confused that. You see, when you begin to wish for the foods of Egypt, just as the Israelites did, when you begin to wish for the gold of Jericho, just as Achan did, you need to understand that you're on the threshold of forsaking your first love. Forsaking your first love in Christ will always lead to an increase of wickedness. You see, while David was walking with God, he was careful to avoid the least sin. But when David, even for a moment, stopped walking with God, then one who was more beautiful to him than God, Bathsheba, he ran after her, and in order to get her, he had to kill and rob and murder. David went from avoiding the least sin to committing the great and grievous sins of adultery and murder. What about you? Is there a zeal to walk with God in your life, or is there a zeal for sin to increase? Where are you in the family tree? Where are you? Will you be counted as the sons and daughters of God who obey and love and worship Christ? Or are you just satisfied with being on the family tree, but not really interested in Jesus Christ? Listen to what the Apostle Peter says. If they have escaped the corruption of the world by knowing our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, if they are again entangled in it and overcome, they are worse off at the end than they were at the beginning. It would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than to have known it and then turn their backs on the sacred command that was passed on to them. Where are you on the family tree? Though Enoch walked with God, yet his own children, his sons and daughters, his grandchildren, his great-grandchildren, they followed other gods. The sins of the sons of Enoch progressed to the point of God telling Noah, "Build me a boat." Where are you? I know you're on the family tree, but are you producing that fruit, or are you just kind of hanging out, satisfied to be known as a churchgoer, but not a Christian? Let's pray. Our gracious and heavenly Father, we thank you for your mercies to us in Christ. And heavenly Father, we admit that we are prone to wander. Oh Lord, we feel it. We are prone to leave the God we love. Take our hearts and seal it. Seal it for thy courts above. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's close our worship. as we stand together and sing a hymn of response, hymn number 585, and let's stand as we sing.